Outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I came down here in a pretty good mood, and I got talking to these guys here in the queue, and they got me all riled up. It took them about 2 minutes to do it. Hey, I'm doing something over here on my computer. Bear with me a second. I gotta send something to the web guy here. Welcome. Last day of November, right? How can that be? Where the heck did this month go? but we are running down the highway for all we're worth. Good, Jared, I just sent you something that just popped into my mind. Welcome, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Man, I don't know about you guys. I've really enjoyed the last few days. And you guys really challenge me and you inspire me. And when I get off the show, I'm drawn back to more research. I don't want you to think I'm a monk and I lock myself in a room. But man, some of the stuff that comes up just in the discussions that we have, I don't know, man. It just sets a little marker in my mind, and I always come back and check it. I always keep coming back and checking that marker. By the way, I don't want anybody to think I'm sick. My barber messed me up. See, they trim your eyebrows. Well, he trimmed one okay. Well, look what he did the other one. I don't want you to think I'm a devil or anything like that, or that I'm losing my mind. That's kind of crazy. And I shouldn't have brought here. I'll pull my hat down. I shouldn't have brought attention to it. I'll just sit down here like that.
Hey, Coach, you got a magic marker?
Yeah. Well, I'll color this thing too. I'll get my head up there now. I get all of you quit looking at it. And just I got a couple encouraging things I want to talk about here real quickly before we really dive into this Holy Spirit thing. And I'm, man, guys, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit and dealing with the Holy Spirit, and you talk about traditions and religion and traditions of men, boy, I'm just telling you, roads, highways open up of possibilities. And when you start down those highways, and as I say it often, I just want to know the truth. I never ever come on here with an attitude of I'm right and you're wrong. I try never to do that. I try to come on here with a questioning attitude. I try to ask questions. I try to get you to think and me to think. And I want to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm trying to analyze that something is seriously wrong in American Christianity. And I don't want to be a know-it-all. But I just want to encourage all you guys and thank all of you for challenging me so much in my faith. And my faith is so much deeper and so much stronger than it was. I've been doing this show almost two years. I just can't even tell you the growth that's taken place inside my own personal life. And I just want to tip my cap and thank all of you. I keep hearing from some who want to be ordained. Oh, I got my shirt on again today. Posted at newswithviews.com commentary entitled Protect the Flock with a Glock. So get yours. Just go on coachdavelive.com. Just make a donation and we'll send one right out to you. Now we recommend $20 because it costs me about $5 to ship them, believe it or not. So, we got to pay the cost and everything, but coachdavelive.com, protect the flock with a Glock. I don't know if you saw this. I spoke to, I had communicated last night with, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know if you guys know Dr. Brown or not. He made the national attention because he made the statement that his church will be the most armed church in America, the most armed church in America. He made the headlines because he said that. And so I got a hold of him and said, hey, I'm going to send you a shirt. So we're sending him a shirt. He's going to be wearing it. And get him for Christmas. Give one to your pastor. If you have any courage at all, buy one of these for your pastor as a Christmas gift. Don't ask him if it's okay. Just go out and buy him one. Because it's what I wrote about today. Come on, fellas. We have got to turn the heat up on these guys. We got to turn the heat up on them. The devil is coming to church. We're in the midst of a reformation, and we're so much in the midst of it, we don't even understand what's going on around us. And we're doing religion. We're doing seeker sensitive friendship evangelism. We're doing evangelifishism. And meanwhile, as the opening of our show says, the culture is disintegrating. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. We're playing church. So to me, it's a good poke in the eye to your pastor. Get him one. Get him one here. Somebody's calling me. He doesn't know I'm on the show. He'll call me now. Just kidding. Just kidding. But I got some good news. Can I start off with a little bit of good news? Let me make sure I'm on the right way here. Two things. Number one, Jared, pull that first thing up there on the Bundys. Did you guys see this? after 23 months, the yes. Bundys have been granted pretrial release after 23 months. You know why? Because there's a lot of lying and cheating and conniving that's gone on in that trial and in the lives of the Bundys. And we're going to find out, the deeper this thing goes, we're going to find out that this is all connected to Hillary and the uranium one and uranium being sold to the Russians. This whole thing's connected. And the reason that they were so angry about the Bundys, throwing the Bundys off of their land, was because Hillary promised that uranium on their land to the Russians. It's all coming around, see? And as this information is coming out in court now, we see that for 23 months, they've locked these guys up. Now, they didn't send them home. You understand they've been in jail for 23 months? Can you think of any crime that you could do in America where you can't get bail? None. Especially something that is, see, you don't mess with the government, do you? So they challenged the government. 23 months they've been locked up in jail. And now they get, according to this, I'm not going to read it, they get pre-trial release. Now, guys, they're in the midst of the trial. What are you talking about pre-trial release? The pre-trial has been the 23 months they've been locked up. And now they get relief. In other words, they go to halfway house or they can go to, they get to go home, I think. But no, they don't get to go home because they don't live. They live away, but they're not in jail. When it's over, when the trial's over for the day, they don't lock them up in jail. Larry, are you on top of this at all? What, got any opinion on this, Larry? It's good news in my mind. They're going to win this.
Yeah, yeah. I've been fed information all along. They did finally for the trial in Oregon. Mm-hmm. They've been released. Those that were still in, and a couple of them down there in Nevada. It's really ridiculous because the judge just is. Just like preachers, the judge is so inconsistent with her rulings from what the law actually says. It's not even
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, but Larry, if I understand it, we find out now that, of course, surprise, 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 the government's been hiding information. They've been hiding evidence. And it's come out that they've been hiding evidence. Now, yeah. See, here, this comes back. Remember what are the three things that the Lord wants us to do? Right? Do you guys remember what those were? Anybody in Matthew?
Yeah, you gotta pursue justice.
Justice,
Malachi.
Right? Huh? Justice.
Do justice.
Do justice.
Love mercy.
Love mercy. And walk humbly
and
before
walk humbly.
Our Lord. See, we don't love mercy. We don't do justice. It doesn't bother us that these guys have been in jail for 23 months. It doesn't bother us. It's injustice and it just does not bother us. Why doesn't it bother us, George? Because it isn't happening to me. It isn't happening to me. It isn't happening to my friends, my family, somebody close to me. If it was happening to somebody close to me, we'd be standing up and kicking and fighting. So that whole case is coming apart. It's all coming apart. The killing of LaVar, what's his name? Lavoie Finicum, all that stuff. What a sad, sad state of affairs it's been in modern American history that we've permitted this to go on. So I just want to show you, give you some evidence that that thing is coming apart. Okay. Then I want to tell you this. This is one of the most amazing. God, this is just amazing. I'm going to try to do this with some dignity and try to protect everybody. I got a Facebook message yesterday from one of the guys who's been, we went down to Port Arthur, spent a week down at Port Arthur helping feed those people and take care of them. And, I got a Facebook message from him yesterday, not asking for any help, just saying, you know, man, oh man, I'm homeless, jobless. I don't know what's going on in my life. That's just kind of what it said. So I knew Big Rich. I had a relationship with this guy. I'm not saying his name just because I haven't asked him if I can. So I'm not hiding. I'm not ashamed of him. But just trying to protect his innocence, his dignity. And so I said, hey, Rich, would you give this guy a call? Hey, Big Rich, are you there, brother? I think I saw you earlier in here. And folks, I just want, yeah, he's there. Big Rich, without divulging too much information, can you tell us the miracle that we saw the Lord work yesterday?
Yeah, you know, he,
Just hey, we all struggle in life, and this.
It's not about him. It's not about him.
No, no. And you know, hey, the Lord uses pressure on us to get through to us a lot, and this guy is one of the most humble, gentle men I've ever met that loves Christ and will stand. And you know, long story short.
On some rough times, brother. He's on some rough times.
He had some serious needs, and Dave and I talked about it. And man, the Lord just started opening doors, and in the end, he now has a vehicle secured, a job, full-time job waiting for him. He has to move maybe an hour and a half, and the final thing is we're working on what he called housing for him. And like I said, he wasn't asking for a handout. It just, he wanted somebody to listen. He wanted to be able to vent. And next thing you know, hey, it's just what it is Pastor Salt come alongside of him and God started opening doors. This dude's up on his feet. You know, we didn't and just walk something. Past him. We didn't walk past him on the road. We lended him a hand and, there you have it.
But Rich, it's even beyond that, Rich, because when I contacted you, you immediately contacted some others. Maybe you're part of the queue, but probably not. At least one of them not even part of the queue. Say, we got this guy. Can you help? And so realizing that we are all brothers in this whole thing together, we became the church to this guy. Right? That's what we became. We became the church to him. He volunteered. He came down to Port Arthur for a week. And did all the cooking and did all that stuff down there. He volunteered to come down and help, and he gets back home and his life's a mess. And he just sends out a message, and I get a hold of Rich. Look at the Lord. Look at that, folks. It is a story. Now, he ain't out of the woods, but at least we've cut him a little bit of a path that he can start heading out of the woods. And I tip my cap to Kevin Van Story out there and to Big Rich and some other guys who, you know, we're connected, guys. We are so much more connected here than we even understand that we are. And so I would just say that in all this 5-day-a-week morning stuff that we do, let's understand that we're building a relationship and a brotherhood here. We're not a cult, no matter what people would try to say about us. No matter how many of your people say, oh, you're following that coach, that cult of the coach. You guys can say, all of you in here, you know it's not a cult. You know that we're a brotherhood. And you know that if Big Rich needs something, I'm going to go help Big Rich. If Robert needs something, Big Rich is going to go down and help Robert. This is the way the body of Christ is supposed to operate. So, see, this guy was able to get some relief because, you hear me, don't miss this, because he went to serve. That's how the whole thing started for him. Had he not decided, okay, in my mess, I'm going to go serve. He went and served and he met Big Rich and he met Jim Craft. He met these guys and a relationship was formed. And when he had trouble, he reached out to us. I flipped it to Big Rich and it looks like we've cut a path to that brother out. So, but God bless you, Rich, for doing it. I know your heart, man. I know the heart that you have. And, we just pray that, you know, things are going to work out for him. Kevin out there. God bless you, Kevin, giving him a truck. On and on and on. So it's all good stuff. All good stuff. Anybody want to jump in here before we dive in? All good stuff. And we just rented Port Arthur, the house down in Port Arthur. We just extended another month's rent down there. We're going to occupy that for at least another month. Chris Keys and Pastor Steve Hopkins and some guys are still doing some ministry down there, and we're thinking about taking another group down there. So believe it or not, we're still actively working down in Port Arthur too. So we're multitasking, aren't we? The church can multitask, isn't that something? And not all of us have to run to do it, and I don't have to run down there and be in charge. We just set it up and say, hey, contact Dale, contact Chad, contact whoever, and we'll keep the supply lines are running. What do you think here, Chad? You with us, man?
Yes, sir. I'm with you now.
So you're up to date on all that, brother? Because I was communicating with Chad earlier about what we needed to do down there, and here we got another month to keep working, huh?
Yeah, it's rolling. I've got a couple of people that have emailed about wanting to go down there. We're just kind of waiting to see where the dust settles right now to if we're going to put another group together. You know, it's still pending.
We keep working, brother. Huh? We keep working. Yeah. Keep putting one foot in front of another. It's what we try to do. Right. And I got a request from yesterday regarding the ordination process. Let me lay this out to you very, very clear. Because I've got about 23 right now people who want to be ordained ministers. Let me make it in a nutshell the way that I see it. In my most humble opinion, ordination is a process that man made to appease government. We've all been called. But you can't marry, can't bury. You don't have the credentials that the world wants to see if you have never been an ordained minister. Never have. You don't have the paperwork. And for most people, they can't get the paperwork because in order to be an ordained minister, they go to their pastor, they go wherever they want to and try to tell the pastor that they want to be ordained, and they get a runaround because the pastor doesn't, you know, he doesn't really have the ability from a legal standpoint to be able to ordain them. And then you go to some places and say, well, you have to go to cemetery. You got to go to online cemeteries 5 nights a week, and you can, you know, in 14 years, we can get you ordained. I believe that the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. That if God has called you to be a minister, which I believe he's called you to be a minister, we all are. And if you're a minister of God, then you are rightfully ordained by God to perform the functions of the ministry. I'm not talking about starting a church. That's something entirely different. I'm talking about you being able to have a piece of paper that you can hang on your wall, that you can show when you want to go do some prison ministry, you want to go any ministry that you want to go to, that you're an ordained minister. And the way the whole ordination process works through Pass Assault, legally, we're allowed to do it. It's one of the things in our charter to ordain others. And what we want to do is we're setting up a process whereby many of you, I've heard from 25, and I think there are more, who would like to be ordained. They would like to have that piece of paper. And some people say, well, I don't need that piece of paper. The Lord called me. Amen. I'm with you. The Lord called you, brother. Let's get you a piece of paper too, okay? The Lord called you, and the world wants to see a piece of paper. So the Lord called you. We're going to put a stamp of approval on the fact that the Lord has called you and give you a piece of paper signifying that. There's going to be a process where we're going to ask you to read some things and watch some things, and it's not going to be a real long process. We're going to trust that the Lord has, in fact, called you to be a minister and that you're going to go do it. And we're not going to put our thumb on top of you and make you follow our doctrine or believe what we believe and say, oh, yeah, yeah, we're pre-trib. No, we're mid-trib. No, we're post-trib. Yeah, we speak in tongues. No, you can't speak in tongues. I'm not going to do any of that stuff to you. We're going to put the stamp of approval of God's call upon your life and give you the opportunity then to go do what it is that the Lord's called you to do. I've got a lot of good input. And Larry sent me some really valuable stuff. I got some stuff from Pastor Dale. And for those of you out there right now, say, well, by what authority are you doing that? Well, by what authority do people start churches? By what authority? By what authority is your pastor in the pulpit? Is it because he went to cemetery 3 years? That qualified him to do it? Do you even know the credentials of your pastor? Do you know where they came from? And I'll be honest with you. Most of the ministry work I see is being done out on the streets. Okay? At the most I see it. The guys that are really doing ministry work, they're down and dirty, got their elbows all scraped up. So we want to just put the stamp of approval on that. I'm sorry to take so much time, but I had several questions about that. And we're going to, we take it seriously. But ultimately, the call upon your life, brothers and sisters, it's your call. It's not mine. It's not mine. You're going to be responsible and you're going to give an account. And what we want to do is make sure, just like we saw happen with our friend down there in Eureka Springs that Rich was talking about there. We want you to know that as you're doing ministry, you got a brotherhood. You got a fellowship of people who are going to stand with you, going to support you, going to try to, you know, to the best of our ability, hold you accountable. We're not building a big kingdom. That's not what it's about. Okay? Somebody jump in here. Maybe something I'm missing. I'm working with Pastor Bill Dunphy, a couple other guys, how to set this up so, you know, at least it's proper. We don't want to, well, it is what it is. If the Lord's called you, it's your call, brother. It's your call. Does anybody see this fraught with danger, or anybody have any trouble with it, or did that answer the question, or are there more questions before we move on?
Dave?
Yeah.
I think one reason the ordination has taken place is, and I don't know how you're sensitive to this, but when you are ordained, technically you are allowed to do a house allowance. That's the reason everybody and their brother who's on staff gets ordained, because that's their pay increase instead of a pay increase. They ordain them. Ordained, they're able to do a lot of stuff with their home and their costs and their mortgage, and basically can write off the housing.
Look up, Jared, look up ordained real quick. To a degree, Roger. But I believe that the way the system is set up is, you have to have a, if you're going to start a church, you have to have a board of elders. Like I don't take housing allowance. I don't take a housing allowance. Although those things are available. See, I hate to cross this bridge, but it's a bridge you got to cross. If you're trying to appease the government and get all the benefits of the government, then you probably need an account or somebody to come alongside and help you with that. I'm talking about spiritual things. Okay. I'm not talking about tax benefits, although there are tax benefits that go along with it. Okay. There are tax benefits. And there are legal ramifications, all that stuff. But I'm just talking about somebody who wants to be able to go into. You want to start a church, then you get some elders around to start a church. I'm cool with that. But we're not sanctioning you to start a church. That's between you and the Lord and your elder. We want to sanction you with a piece of paper that you can go into the prisons, you can go to jails, you can do. That's where I'm coming from. Okay, does that make sense to everybody out there? I'm not
somebody that believes that a box of paper clips is God can start a church legally.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Through the hoops to do it. But
that's right.
What you're talking about is paperwork recognition, that there is at least a group that recognizes that God has called you. So then the people in the government, like the prisons, that want somebody to have ordination papers before they'll let them in to minister to the prisoners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Be a chaplain for the police department. A lot of different things like that, right?
I'm just going to chime that in there, Coach, because as a chaplain, four-year veteran of the chaplaincy of the police force, you have to be an ordained minister. Same thing with prison ministries, even some psych ward hospitals, even within hospitals. Spiritually speaking, just like Paul says, I've become all things to all people that some might be persuaded. It truly is an avenue of a door opening, for you to continue to fulfill your ministry, especially if you do have police ministry or if you do have a desire to do jail ministry. This is something that they require.
That's
and it's
right.
not
so
ungodly.
No, it's not. And we're just appeasing men. Mark Trump just put something up here. Mark, jump in here real quickly, because this is along the same lines. Mark, explain what you just put up on the screen there for people who couldn't see it.
I guess there's a new, I guess, what would you call him? He's formed a religion of the AI church. So now that that's happened, there's going to be these churches that pop open and they don't even have their God yet. He hadn't arrived. So what this church and this guy on that link is hoping is to be the elders, just like, kind of Coach is saying, he wants to be the elders and submit to whichever AI rises out of the mist. And that's going to be the God they worship, because they know they're going to be smarter than humans.
The church of the artificial intelligence, right? So, folks, understand this. We are not starting a denomination that you have to be a member of. We are ordaining you to walk in the calling that God has on your life. What you do with that ordination is between you and whoever you surround yourself with. Okay. I just want everybody to be sure of that. I'm not trying to start the new vineyard, the new assemblies of God, the new past the sun. No. That's not what we're trying to do. We're merely putting the stamp of approval of God upon your life. And ordained, Jared, look up or ordain. The word ordain means to invest officially with ministerial or priestly authority. And it says in here, actually, as by the laying on of hands. So we'll have an ordination process. We'll have a little, what we're going to try to do when we get this whole thing together, we're going to try to get people together and have a laying on of the hands and an ordination that takes place as a result of it. Number two, to establish or order by appointment, decree, or law. See, so an ordination has a legal component.
Yeah, right? Congratulations, Coach. That laying on of hands, you know, that's one of the six fundamentals of the Christian life.
Amen. Amen. So we're just not going to mail you a certificate. There's going to be, whether I have to come to you or you come to us, there's going to be a process whereby we're going to solidify or to recognize the call of God upon your life. So if you want to be an ordained minister and you want to be in the first group that we get going here, just email us, Coach, I'm interested in this, and then we'll get the process rolling. I spent a lot of time on this, guys, but I've had a lot of emails on it. Anything else on good of the group in regards to this?
Yeah, I think maybe have, you know, just my opinion, an annual, brother. I mean, yes, yeah. I understand, and I know your heart, you'll go wherever, but I mean, to have an annual to where you do a yearly, this is the time of the year that we do the ordination, we come here, you actually get to impart in them the teaching, your heart, and in that setting in state and the laying out of hands and the setting out of the ministry, brother, I do see some good reputable ministries that is how they do that.
Yep.
And, you know, it is biblical, very biblical.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Cool. All right. Good. Good. All of you in this queue ought to be part of it. That's what I believe. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. It's just what I believe. Okay. Let me shift gears here on us today, because Jared, I just sent this one all by itself. Let's go where it says wild. Okay. Wildman, I want you to listen. I got emails yesterday about, I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. People said, no, my goodness, was that powerful? It is. It is powerful. And I know I'm taking a while to get us there, but I want to help you understand that your ministry is powerless if the power of the Holy Spirit's not at work inside you. It's powerless. You can be ordained by 17 different organizations. You can have read every book that there is. You can say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers. And you can pray the rosary every day. If the calling of God is not upon your life through the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God, I just don't know how effective that you're going to be. That's what I'm trying. That's the emphasis that I'm trying to make here today. Guys, look, you can say what you want to. But when you're watching this show, because there's something supernatural at work in me, in us, in this thing, there's something supernatural you can't get away from. And you know, it isn't about me. And I do the best I can every time I come in here on the morning is try to tell you guys, listen, this is otherworldly. It ain't even me. Sometimes I don't even know where some of this stuff comes from, except I do know where the stuff comes from. It comes from my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear. And I come across people and they say, Coach, man, oh man, I watch your show. I said, man, some of the stuff you come up with, where do you get that? And I just want to say, dude, this is available. This is available to all of us. This is available to walk in the Spirit, hear the Spirit, and that we are so filled with the religion and so empty of the Spirit, it ain't any wonder we're a mess. You know, Mark Trump, you said to me the other day, the Lord has anointed me with data. And I've thought about that more and more and more, the ability to analyze data. That's one of the giftings. Expound on that again, Mark, if you can. Because folks, listen, I'm trying to empower you.
Yeah, I'll just introduce a couple terms. What an analyst is, first of all, I work in cybersecurity, and I'm not an analyst. I'm more of a jack of all trades. I don't go real deep in anything, but a cyber analyst, they go deep. They have the ability to look at huge amounts of data in some way or another. things jump out at them, and they just understand it. So that's because they're just really good at understanding trends and data sets. So I fully believe that the Bible is God's data set that he's given us. And the more time we spend on the Bible, which the Bible, the word is God. So we're actually forming a relationship with those words, just like a data analyst scrubbing financial transactions. So with that said, we are God's data analysts. In a way for us to pick up the trends and patterns and circle references and an inherent Holy Spirit, you know, we have to spend time in the Word and understand the data. And the more we spend, the more he reveals to us.
So the Lord said to me, not to me, I'm sorry. The Lord said, Mark, the words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, I want to ask you this. Wait a minute. Thank you, Lord. Word of God is living. It's living. Isn't that what it says, Dale? The Word of God is living. Oh, my goodness.
And active.
And active. Dividing even unto the soul and the spirit. See, the Word of God, Mark, not only is it data, it's living, powerful data. Listen, truth doesn't have to be discovered. Truth has to be revealed. Truth is revealed to you. And the only way truth can be revealed to you is if the Holy Spirit is operational in your life. That is the data. That's the computer app. The Holy Spirit's the computer app that makes it all make sense. And I grieve in my spirit because so many people are walking around going to church and they don't have the Spirit. I was listening this morning. Do you remember the song by Stephen Green? Is that his name? People Need the Lord. And I listened to the opening line of that. It says, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, heading who knows where. And guys, I see it in their eyes too. The emptiness. I see the emptiness in self-professing Christians that I come in contact with. The eyes are the window of the soul. And I talk to them and I look in their eyes. And when I look in their eyes and I talk to them, something is missing in them. You guys think I'm crazy? There's something missing in them. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells inside them. He's living in there, but he's not full and active and, whoa, he's not.
Coach, you know something I've always believed is you're going to be filled up with something. And you're either going to,
amen, brother.
You don't invite Christ in. You have to make that effort. However, if you got a vacancy, it's like a vacuum. It sucks in sin and Satan. It just sucks it in. The world's all around us pushing it in. So unless you ask and actually work on that relationship, that vacuum gets bigger. It's either going to get bigger or smaller every moment of every day.
Amen. Amen, you know, brother. So, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. So I'm trying to lead you into the truth, okay? I don't have the truth. I'm trying to lead you to it. Some of the stuff that I know, I use this term. I know it in my knower. I can't prove it to you. That's what faith is all about. But some of the stuff that I know that I can't prove, I still know. I just know it. Just know it. Eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for those that love him. In other words, some of the stuff we're never going to get to. We're going to be ever learning and never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's out of context scripture. But I feel that way. I'm ever learning. But see, I want to come. See, that's in 2 Timothy, where he's talking about silly women laden with lust who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, I'm ever learning, but I want to be ever learning truth. I don't want to be ever learning about the Republicans and the Democrats. I don't want to be ever learning about the Buckeyes and the Browns. I want to be ever learning of the Word. words I say unto you, their spirit and their life. You with me? So I got, yeah.
Just kind of the thing that stands out to me is breaking up of the fallow ground, right? So you can read the Bible and you can be ever learning, but if there's things that you're not willing to question, that and your foundation is wrong, and those things you're not willing to question, then you can't learn anything.
That's right. So Jared, if the pastor that you were talking about was before we went on the air. If he's not open to the truth, he ain't going to get it. You have to be open to it. Listen, when I was coaching football, I'm going to tell you, I was an I formation guy. Tight end, flanker, wide receiver, I formation, double team, kick out, run it down your throat. That's how you win football. That blocking and tackling, fundamentals, you never get away from it. But the longer I was in coaching and the more the game began to change, I had to adapt some of my philosophy. I had to go to the spread, changed everything, all that kind of stuff. And if I'm going to be a coach that says, I ain't going to do it that way. Well, the fundamentals don't change. The blocking and the tackling and the steps that you take and none of that stuff. None of that does. But it's the way you present the fundamentals. Okay. And that's all I'm trying to help people to do. So I'm sitting here this morning. And somebody says something, and boom, it goes off on me. Jared, pull that up there, that thing that says Don Wildman on there, if you can. This was written by Don Wildman, American Family Association, back in 2000, and I think it's 2000. This thing popped up on my computer. Get out of here! Get out of there! Oh, I'll go over to this one. Jared pulled up on that screen. Joe, Silver, are you ready out there? Because yesterday we read, I want to buy $3 worth of God, please. Well, this one, Silver, is Don Wildman. This is why that's what Christians do now. And to me, this is the most this is so profound. This is written 17 years ago. Okay. Don Wildman and Joe, this is the American church. And Joe, just start where it says in 1973 and just start reading that for us.
In 1973, the Supreme Court said it was okay to kill unborn babies. Since then, we have killed more than the entire population of Canada. And it continues. A woman's choice? Half of those who have died in their mother's wombs have been women. They didn't have a choice. It is called abortion. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches, I go home. That's what Christians do now. First, it was in dingy theaters, dirty theaters. Then, convenience stores. Then, grocery stores. Then, on television. Now it is in the homes of millions via the internet. It is called pornography. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. They call it no fault. Why should we blame anyone when something so tragic happens? Haven't they already suffered enough? Half of the marriages in America end this way. The children suffered. The family broken down. It is called divorce. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. At one time, it was perversion. We kept it secret. We secured help and hope for those who practiced it. Now it is praised. We have parades celebrating it, and elected officials give it their blessing. How it is endowed with special privileges and protected by special laws. Even some Christian leaders and denominations praise it. It's called homosexuality. Me, I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. It used to be an embarrassment, a shame. Now a third of all births are to mothers who aren't married. 2/3 of all African American children are born into a home without a father. The state usually pays the tab. That is why we pay our taxes, so that government can take care, can take the place of parents. After all, government bureaucrats know much better how to raise children than parents do. It is called illegitimacy. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. At one time, it was wrong. But then the state decided to legalize it, promote it, and tax it. It has ripped apart families and destroyed lives. But just look at all the money the state has raised. No longer do we have to teach our children to study and work hard. Now we teach them they can get something for nothing. We spend millions encouraging people to join the fun and excitement. Just look at the big sums that people are winning. They will never have to work again. It is called gambling. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. Not long ago, Christians were the good guys. But now, any positive image of Christians in movie or on TV is gone. We are depicted as the bad guys, greedy, narrow-minded hypocrites. The teacher can't have a Bible on her desk, but can have Playboy. We don't have Christmas and Easter holidays, just winter and spring break. We can't pray in school, but we can use foul language. It's called being tolerant. Me, I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. Yes, all these things came to pass within 30 years. Where were the Christians? Why, they were in church. All these things are for someone else to deal with. Times have changed. Involvement has been replaced with apathy. But don't blame me. I didn't do anything. I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now.
There you go, man.
There you go, man.
Brethren, we as true followers of Christ.
You can stop there, Joe. Okay. This guy's just adding this. So this is what drives my heart. This is what drives what I do, because I contend that we would not be in the mess that we're in if Christians did something besides going to church and listening to the pastor and going home. That's what Christians do now, by the way. So that was 17, 18 years ago. So you say, anybody want to comment on that?
Well, Coach, that's
what that I was simply excellent.
I experienced it last night. I went to Wednesday night service, and the entire sermon was about coming to church. The whole thing was about, hey, come to church, because worshiping God means going to church. And it's like I'm in church. We're in church right now. So now tell me how to be a Christian. Don't tell me how to come to church more.
It's all they know to do, see? It's all they knew to do. I'm kicking against the pricks on this one, Jared. You understand that, right? I want to be a friend of the church, but I'm trying to point out why the church isn't working. So they get mad at me, right? They get mad at me. This isn't working, guys. This isn't working. This isn't working.
Hey, Coach.
George.
It goes back to faith without works is dead. You know, Paul said that. He said, show me I'll show you my faith by my works, basically. And we've lost that in the church. We got lulled to sleep thinking that just going to a church, doing the Lord's will. And that's just really a very small part of it.
Amen. Amen. So here's where I'm going to try to pull this together here in these last 15 minutes. And I'm going to bring the Holy Spirit back into this. We saw what's happened with Matt Lauer and everything that's going on. Listen, I wasn't surprised. I would say that, hey guys, can I tell you something? Let me ask you this question. Do you have any idea what I am capable of doing without the restraining of the Holy Spirit? Do you have any idea what I would be capable of doing if I was giving a position of authority like Matt Lauer, millions and millions of dollars, adulation by people everywhere I go? Do you have any idea how diabolical and demonic I could be right now? And the only thing that keeps me clean and honest is not the values I was raised with. Matt Lauer was probably raised with those same values. Wasn't my parents. Wasn't my grandparents. Wasn't going to church. It wasn't being baptized. It wasn't being catechism. It wasn't being confirmed. It wasn't even receiving Christ. That was just the beginning. When I received the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I got power from on high. I got power from on high. And power from on high. See, here's one of the problems we evangelifish make. We were talking about, I got a lot of stuff to give you. Just bear with me, okay? We've made Christianity, evangelifishism. We've made Christianity all about me. All about me. In fact, I was reading on Facebook this morning of a pastor that I know in another city. And he wrote this little thing before he went to bed about how good the Lord is to him. Listed all these things that the Lord had done for him. And it's good, and I rejoice with him. Listen, that ain't what the Lord's about. Just doing good stuff for you. It just isn't. And that's how you know that God's good, because you're blessed. Well, I think God's good when I'm not blessed. And I think God's good when something he sends into my life doesn't appear to be a blessing, but is one. I don't realize it is. It's going to be. And he said, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. But if we measure our Christianity based on how my life is going, then we have a very shallow, self-centered opinion of Christianity. In my most humble opinion, that's where the average Christian guy is living. It's all about him. And as long as things are going okay in his life, then God's good. I'm blessed. So you take a guy like Matt Lauer, pick anyone you want to. Do you think they can't go back in Donald Trump's past and find some stuff? That's where this whole thing's heading. I've been warning you that for a couple of weeks. You think they couldn't go, hey, Dale, could they go back in your life and find some stuff? Big Rich, could they go back in your life and find some stuff? See, the world doesn't understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit being the restrainer that keeps me from, gives me the ability to say no to this stuff that I couldn't say no to before. That I'm faithful to my wife, that I love my wife every day, that I'm not tempted to go out and chase after other women. I don't do drugs. Why? Is it because I was raised good? No. It had nothing to do with that. It has to do with who lives inside me and the fulfilling, I don't even know how to. When you become aware of that power, and begin to exercise that power, that Holy Spirit power from inside you, you'll find out that there is no weapon that is formed against you that can prosper. Do you understand that? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against me shall be condemned. Pull up Psalm 91, Jared. Pull that up. Oh, my goodness. That indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to get woo-woo-woo-woo-woo on you. But I'm trying to tell you that if we could get across to the world that this thing is this whole Jesus thing is more than just about here and now. And it's more than just about salvation. It's about a total transformation. Behold, I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. If we could get that to the people, they would flock to it. The ability to say no. Hi, David, come here a minute. Yeah, let me see your helicopter. Here they are. I've got to get them in and out. Here there's old Davy. There's Reese. I'm right in the middle of something, okay, guys? If we could get that to people, they could understand that. We don't even teach them that, Jared. We don't even, I'm not mad. He thinks I'm mad. We don't even teach them the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's a joyous thing. It's not burdensome. I don't get up in the morning and worry about whether or not I got some disease from some woman last night. I don't get up in the morning and worry about whether I've impregnated some girl. I don't get up in the morning and worry about whether or not I sexually harass somebody. Why? Because there's something inside of me that makes me, I don't even want to do it. And it guards me from it.
We love Jesus.
And what do we have? We have people in political offices, positions of authority that don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. They don't even know what it is. They have no restraint. The only restraint they have is their own personal morality. We'll try that one on for a while. See how far that's going to get you. And we elect and put into office people who are not righteous and holy, and we know it. The church knows it. We know that a right, look what they're doing to Judge Roy Moore. Can't we see the world attacking Christ in just that one event? Yes.
I just want, let's start with power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. But at the same time, Roy Moore was put in by the people, and it wasn't the people that got him out those two times. It was a bunch of, we know.
Yeah, people who don't believe the Bible, don't want anything to do with the Bible. In fact, Roy Moore said that last night. He said the thing is, they don't want to be confronted with the truth of the Bible. He's talking about the elected officials in D.C. He said they don't want me to come and confront them with the truth of the gospel. That's what he said. And see, Christians can't. We don't even have the Holy Spirit in us enough to understand what's going on. We Christians can't even understand what's going on. We can't even see it. We don't get it. Because why? Well, I don't think we have the Holy Ghost. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To me, this is the Holy Spirit of the indwelling. This is not just walking. This is not just walking an aisle and saying a prayer. What we're reading here is something deeper. Someone who is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. See, when you walk out from under that shadow, when you walk out and you begin to do stuff that you're not supposed to do, you walk into some dangerous territory. He's talking about those who are under his blessing. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. Are you noticing Judge Moore is going to get elected and everybody else is losing their job? Anybody notice that? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall his trust. He shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that flieth by day, nor for the flieth at noonday. Thousands shall fall my right hand. And 10,000 at the right hand, but shall not come near me. Thousands shall fall at thy side. Judge Moore is watching 1,000 follow this sword. This side, 1,000. They're falling all around him. And his numbers in the polls keep going up. Why? Because he's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And we want to drag him back out from under there back to 40 years ago. Christians want to do that to him. Christians want to. Hey, David. David's eating some candy. I don't have time to finish Psalm 91. There's some boys and girls, there's something to this Holy Spirit thing. Something to it. Help me bring it home. Come here, Davey. Come on, somebody jump in here and help me bring it home. Hold me. Come here, Dave. I'll let David sit on my lap. Hello, somebody.
Judge Roy Moore is going to win. He's going to win easy. It's going to be a landslide. It's going to be.
But see, it isn't about Judge Roy Moore, because the Lord, The Lord's his defender, right? The Lord's his defender. Phone, there's a phone. The Lord's his defender. The Lord's his defender, Psalm 91. All those lies, all that stuff going on in front of him. And see, the toughest thing for us to understand in the midst of the battle, can you imagine the sleepless nights? Can you imagine can you imagine what's been going on in his heart? Can you imagine his stomach? Can you imagine all these lies come out? No ability to be able to defend himself and watching Christian brothers, religious Christian brothers criticizing and telling him to step down. Religious Christian brothers. Because I would tell you this. If they have any discernment of the Holy Spirit, they'd be able to see the truth, but they can't.
Hey, Coach.
They can't. Yeah.
Let me throw this in there. You know, we outside of the state of Alabama have no way to affect that election in Alabama other than encouraging people we know that live there to go out and vote for Judge Roy Moore.
Amen.
But my thoughts and my position are this. I do not pray Judge Roy Moore is going to win. I simply pray that God's will be done.
Amen, Larry. If he doesn't win, it's a testimony against us, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The Lord's going to say, listen, look what I gave you. And you reject, you took Barabbas. You chose Barabbas.
Absolutely. In my opinion, anytime we try to pick and choose and tell God, you know, hey, and even the little cliche, if it be your will, make this happen. If it be your will, make this happen. Why put a condition on God? Why not just say your will be done?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Who are we to put a condition on God? If we pray the word if to God, there's something wrong in our thinking.
Mm. Right.
Larry, that's good. That's good. So, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying, guys, that we are surrounded, that we have the precious, powerful Holy Ghost available to us. And we don't even understand it. We put people into office who do not have the Holy Ghost and expect them to be restrained by their own morality. Just tell me you're smarter than that. Tell me you're smarter than that.
Or we're smarter than that.
And we gripe and we moan and complain when we continue to put these same slugs back in office. How can you drain the swamp when it's continue refilling it? We're draining it off one end and putting the same type of people back in there. And then we get a righteous guy like Judge Roy Moore is going to step up and run for us. And we say, no, 40 years ago. By the way. It was the religious folk that wanted Barabbas. You know that? It was the religious folk. Who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas? Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Why? Because that Jesus man, he got something going on inside of him, and every time he shows up, he makes me feel pretty bad. I don't want him around. So you can bet your bottom dollar that Harry Reid, he ain't even there. Mitch McConnell and those guys in Washington, D.C. don't want Judge Moore around because why? Well, he got something in him that they don't like. You understand? And Christians can't even see it. We can't even realize it. We want to be holier than thou. I don't know how I got
that. They are afraid of it.
That's right.
They're afraid of it. Why? They should be afraid of it. They should be afraid of the Holy Spirit. And my Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit of God is like fire caught up in my bones. I'm going to ask you this. If you're a Christian and you ain't got any fire in your bones, maybe it's time you ask yourself why. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.